Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Final Fantasy VII is over, sort of, but not really ever, here at Post Show Recaps, where we are just getting started with the Crisis Core Reunion podcast. This is episode two. If you missed it, 2 weeks ago we dropped our episode one preview, prologue, chapter one podcast, getting started in the game. And of course, by we, I mean myself, Brooklyn Zed, and my co-host Adam H, playing the game for the first time. This week, Adam played chapters two and three. Adam, how'd it go?
It went, is kind of where I'm at here. I don't know.
Up and down the Shinra building, yeah, we're in going and out of Midgar.
We're fighting more robots for whatever reason, because that's like the only thing we can fight here, I suppose. We're quickly introduced to other characters. We get Reno and Rude back. Welcome to the game, you sexy beasts. Glad to have you. We get another new character who I don't even know how to pronounce her name yet, but I'm sure I'll learn at some point.
Cisne?
Yeah, I wasn't even close. Okay. I was saying like Chizzy. I don't know.
Survivor Australia.
Even though I've literally never seen an episode, it's just like the massive... I had to actually mute it on Twitter because there was so many... I don't know. I'm never going to watch International Survivor, but like I get so many tweets about International Survivor. I also don't know how I would even watch it in the first place. I mean, this isn't a Survivor podcast, whatever. So yeah, we get more characters there. Great. We get a promotion. That was fun. And I don't really understand why once we get promoted, everything is our problem to deal with. Like, we really have to do the most work out of anyone, and no one else is doing anything. So that kind of feels bad that we're responsible for everything, but whatever. Also, people have wings.
One.
Well, but multiple people have.
Yes.
Peoples
Many
have
people
wing.
Have one wing.
Yeah.
People have wing.
Peoples have wing.
Yes.
Would you want a wing, Zen? Would you want one wing, two wings?
Well, this is the thing I keep arguing about when I'm streaming the game at twitch.tv/hardrockhope.
Nice.
Is how do you fly with one wing? Like, just mechanically, fair, physically, though, it makes no sense.
It's a big wing. Like, it
yeah,
really
which just makes it all the more lopsided.
Well, but do you think it's like a like you're flying by one wing and you're like very tilted on the other side,
like dangly, so,
yeah,
from the wing?
Uh-huh. Well, or it's like you're kind of being held up by a big pile of balloons that you're holding in
right.
one hand.
I That's think realistically, work, yeah, you would be very dangly, mm-hmm, and lopsided because of your one wing, but in the game, it just they're flying like they have two.
Yeah. Well, maybe the other wing is invisible or really small and we just don't see it. Because I don't think it's ever explained. Maybe. That would be kind of fun. That would
be hilarious. That's
I could
definitely
easily,
not the case.
Oh, but like that, I could easily see this game doing that. Where like
I would buy an invisible wing over a small wing.
Okay. Or like a wing that's only visible once you destroy whatever
once
these...
you also have a wing.
Oh, it's like a secret wing club.
Yeah.
Everyone has one visible wing and one secret wing. But you only can see the secret wings if you yourself have a wing.
Yeah. I don't know what the advantage is to that, because if everyone can see your one wing, then it doesn't really matter. But
well, but maybe they're like, use that. They see your one wing and like, they can't fly. There's no way they could fly. And then you just start swooping all over the place. Boom, got them. Now you have the upper wing.
Maybe
I don't know. Also, who is Genesis? Okay, I have like some very structural questions about what I am experiencing in this game. I think I understand the gist of Zack and like what his story is, because
sure,
it is basically as simple as it gets. Low level grunt of big company wants promotion and more responsibility. Done. That's Zack. That's like all he wants. He sometimes has a sword. Great. He's off doing random missions. But like, who is Genesis? And Genesis related to Angeal, which again, I just have to say, a pretty dumb name. I'm fully out on, especially as more of the characters continue to say the name Angeal over and over again. I think it's the Geal part, because there's not a lot of words with Geal besides congeal.
Congeal.
And that's not good word in any situation. And so like Angeal, congeal, same thing basically. It's kind of gross. So I'm out on Angeal. And then Lazard. Why? Just make him a
and,
wizard.
And Kunzel?
That's the guy that keeps sending me mail, right?
Oh, everybody's going to send you mail. You're Kunzel get so much mail.
Blowing up my DMs here. Just, I do not understand. I blocked this guy 3 times.
So it's just like, where are you? Him. Are you alive? Are you still alive?
We just met like 4 seconds ago. I don't even know who you are. And he just keeps messaging me.
It does often happen in the game that like you're talking to someone and then or in a cutscene or something, and like the second the cutscene finishes or you walk away from them, you get mail from them. And it's like in regards to the conversation we had about three seconds ago. Like I can still see you. I just wanted to say XYZ.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I do not accept that kind of mail from anyone in my life. Like, if we're ever in that situation, just please do not send me that kind of mail after we just talked. I'm just never going to check it. I'm never going to read it. So there you go. I'm trying to think if there's any other big... Oh, and Hollander is also there. The fact that we're fighting robots is so dumb to me, Zed. It is so dumb to me. And, you know, we'll talk about this once we get to the robots, but this whole... just random logic of, oh, they stole our science. And that's why they... What do you mean they stole your science? Well, you have a monopoly on robots? And there are more things than just robots. And so it's either we have the assassin people, which are all over the place, or we have robots. And that's it. That's like truly it when it comes to the baddies that we're fighting, and that feels just kind of bad. So maybe we need to start stealing science from other PSR podcasts. And what would we get? Would we get some robots? Is there any science that we could steal?
I mean, I'm sure Severance has some great science.
Yeah,
it has both Dr. Melissa and Dr. Amanda.
Let's
on
steal
it.
So, some like, science over there.
The two true scientists, I think, in the entirety of the Puerto Rico community.
Okay, maybe we steal from Severance and we get a freaking elevator that does what Severance does, and that way we don't have to freaking climb all these ladders in our own building. Oh my god, we're freaking climbing ladders all day, even though like in these cutscenes we can jump up and down floors like it's nothing, but instead we have to spend 5 minutes climbing ladders everywhere. Ugh, it's ridiculous. Okay, we did 2 chapters. I did maybe three mini game quest things. Maybe
side quests or missions.
I don't know. Are those not the same thing?
No.
When I'm at the save point and I hit
yes,
the
those
whatever,
are missions.
Then what's a side quest?
I told you about the little orange exclamation points that you'll see on your map, and then if you go to those places, you will be able to hit an. The X will show up, or whatever key it is for you will show up as orange instead of blue, and those are like optional additional things.
Okay, maybe then I absolutely have not done a side quest yet. Yeah, I don't know if there were any available, but I certainly did not do them.
They are almost always irritating. Oh. Yeah, pretty constantly, I will say, throughout the game. And speaking from the perspective of, I think I'm at the final save point before the end of the game. They are not intuitive in their existence for the most part. And as I have mentioned to you before, the mini games are often very tiresome if you're trying to get the trophy that is associated with them, which I know you're not doing,
not
and you
all.
Will probably have a much better time with this game than I had.
Yeah.
But as a result, I think I've also found it harder to follow the story because... Like yesterday, for instance, I streamed for 2.5 hours and I didn't move from the save spot that I started at. I was just doing missions to unlock additional shops and equipment and stuff.
Truly a nightmare. Like, I cannot imagine a worse experience for myself than just ripping 2 hours, not even moving an inch. Wow. Okay.
I think I've done 60% of the missions now.
If I spend more than 2 hours alone on the missions, I'll be surprised. Yeah. To be honest with you.
It's probably right.
I don't know if I have that kind of time. Because, I mean, this could be a 2 year long podcast if I do all of the missions. Like, truly, I don't think
it also would not be interesting to talk about for that long. No. It's barely interesting to stream.
Yikes. Okay. Well, I did get done 2 chapters this yes. past week. So, you know.
We are talking about betrayal?
Question mark.
Is chapter 2.
Is it betrayal, though? Who betrayed?
Well, that's the question. That's why there's a question mark.
Okay, well, guess what? There's still going to be a question mark at the end of it, because I don't even know who we're talking about. And even if I did, I don't even know if I'd be able to tell you who betrayed who. But some time has passed since the whole Wu Tai shenanigans way back
about
when.
About a month, according to the walkthrough I am
I thought it was not as much time as that, but about a month. Okay, that's kind of a long time, actually. What have we been doing in that month? Nothing? Just
training,
hanging around?
Squatting.
I did not feel any stronger at the beginning of chapter 2.
Well, that's because you're not doing the mission.
Okay, well, we better get those slots going while we're doing the training then. We need to do some random level ups here. So time has passed. Angeal's gone. And we learned that Genesis is being cloned.
Yes.
Which, what? Who is Genesis? I legitimately don't think I could tell you. I know that he's being cloned, and that's it. He and Angeal were, like, maybe secretly lovers growing up. I don't know. Is that anything? No?
I don't think that is intimated in anything in this children's game.
This is a children's game?
Oh, okay.
We're bombing cities, Ed. What do you mean?
That's true. Yeah, no, it's not for like 7-year-olds.
Okay, but... well, if the, you know, if they're in the teens, I don't think that, you know, two people growing up and being lovers under the tree is all that crazy. But there was a lot of emphasis on that tree.
Genesis's last name is Rhapsodos, which is pretty cool.
Where is that? I mean, that's the coolest last name in the game.
Oh, I just found it on the Final Fantasy wiki.
Oh, are you telling me my last name is Fair? What a joke.
Yeah, Zach Fair. Tifa Lockhart, you know.
What's Angeal's last name?
I have no idea. I can find out.
Angeal Jelly? Ooze? Angeal
I almost Googled Angeal Jelly. That's not gonna get us what we want.
But it might though. Imagine
I don't know. That sounds like some sort of aquatic something.
Angeal Jelly.
Hewley. H-E-W-L-E-Y. Hewley.
Angeal Hewley. Okay.
Not as cool as Rhapsodos.
No, but it's cooler than Angeal.
Definitely a Pokemon, right?
Well, there's Gyarados and Zapdos.
Zapdos. Yeah. Rhapsodos is it is. It's literally spelled Rhapsodos.
Wow. Okay.
It's the Rhap Pokemon.
Someone needs to tell Rob immediately. We have to put this on Rhap.
Yeah. Get Pixel Sean on
on Rhapsodos. That's pretty good. Okay. Okay. And Angeal's missing, and somehow it is my job to find Angeal. That's the conclusion that leadership has drawn, is that it is up to me, Zadam, to find Angeal. Great. Luckily, Sang is there to help. Sang is playing a weirdly big part in this game that I did not anticipate. And so we're off. We're off to find Angeal. We start by heading to a fountain where nothing happens. Then we go to a place called Loveless Avenue where nothing happens. And then We keep going to another place and nothing happens until we get back to the Shinra building. That was my whole, that's all I wrote there because I couldn't tell you anything important that happened there. We basically just went for a stroll.
Well, I think they send you out to go like, see if people need help, which is where you could find side quests and join some fan clubs, by the way.
Join fan clubs?
Yeah, you could join, the Keepers of Honor fan club, which is for fans of Angeal, and also the Red Leather fan club for fans of Genesis. And then you'll just start getting more mail.
I don't want more mail. No solicitation here in my DMs.
Oh, there's also a Loveless study group for fans of Genesis who want to learn about the play Loveless, because Genesis is a big fan of Loveless.
Yeah.
And I would like to know how long Loveless has been running. Because it's still running. We see it at the start of Remake, like in the background of where Aerith is at the beginning of the game. And people like know this play by heart, and they've named a street after it. So it feels like it's been, this is their Shakespeare. It's been running forever.
Mm-hmm. Well, Zed, I can just tell you right now, I have a lot of experience in a Loveless study group. So that's, you know,
I have to go. It's not even 10 in the morning. Like I feel like it usually is. I need to go now.
You had to see that one coming. Zed, come on. It's too easy. It's a big meatball up there. You got to hit those.
Should I make a red leather joke? Nope. Moving on.
You okay. Could. There was not a lot of that going on in the study group. So after that, we head back to the Shinra building, and we're told, okay, we need to go to this village called Benora. Great. And then instantly we're there, because that's how that works. We're fighting assassins all over the place. There's these Genesis copies, that are just everywhere. Except they're weak as hell. So like, they're not very good copies, or Genesis is just very weak. I don't know. One of the two.
Right. So Genesis has been degrading due to he was infused with Genova cells, as many Shinra soldiers were, or members of soldiers specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And those cells have started degrading. So maybe, you know, because he is weakening, the copies are weak. I may be giving too much credit to the logic of the story here. But he is trying to create an army of copies of himself, I think, to take down Shinra, because he's mad that his body's falling apart because of the experiment that was done on him. I believe by Hollander, if I'm following all of these things correctly. It is I think it's a convoluted story. But it may just be convoluted because of the way that they're telling it. A lot of which includes quoting Loveless a lot for mostly no reason.
Yeah, we do have a lot of those quotes.
But it tickles me because the dialogue becomes so dramatic. We're just talking about honor and dreams.
That's it.
That could have been the name of the podcast. Honor and dreams.
Honor and dreams. Okay, which do you feel like you have more of? Honor or dreams?
Oh, boy. I feel like I have a lot of both. I have a lot of, I have like a very strong inner sense of like ethics and morality. I don't think that necessarily aligns with what the society we currently live in has decided is what's honorable. I'll go on a police rant. You put your eyebrows back down, Adam.
Listen, I had an answer in my head of where I think that you are versus where I think I am. But
Tell me.
Well, I think you're much more on the honor side. Kind of like what you're
among
talking about.
Thieves, perhaps.
Oh, maybe. Have you watched the movie yet?
I did.
Okay, I also saw it, but I don't want to spoil people who live. You know, who's
they come to the Crisis Core podcast and we just talk about the D&D movie for an hour.
My overall thoughts on it was pretty good, actually. I enjoyed it.
I had a good time.
Yeah, I thought the movie was good. It was very fun. I went with some people that like aren't big into D&D and they enjoyed it too. So that was big. But I think you're much more on the honor side, and I think that I'm much more on the dream side. Would you agree with that assessment?
Take a car if it was given to you and then just run away with it.
Is that what the dream side is?
That was a Survivor reference.
Oh, okay. Not that dream. No, this is not a Survivor podcast.
It's not a D&D podcast either, Adam. But here
about
we are.
Survivor multiple times in this podcast. I still haven't even seen the latest episode yet.
Me neither.
Oh my God. How are we the ones talking about Survivor? Okay. What is even going on right now?
Okay. Genesis has a bunch of clones.
He has a bunch of clones and they're very weak. Great. Okay. We're getting into this
for now. Let me tell you.
Well, you know, I guess I need to start grinding those side quests to make myself even stronger, except we both know it's not going to happen. So as we're getting into Benora, we have a big robot for fighting a big crab robot for some reason, because our science was stolen. We really got to put that science under lock and key, because we can't be having. Also, even if the science was stolen, how did they get the robot all the way out here? Like, we have like big cranes or I don't know. Makes no sense. Whatever. We fight it. It wasn't even that hard. It's even easier in this game to use thunder more often than it is in regular remakes. So like, it's just so easy to beat the robots. I don't know why they keep throwing more of them at us. Great, we're into the village. Zadam and Sang, the dynamic duo, are investigating. And Sang is immediately like, "Oh, look, a grave." And it's Genesis's parents, I think, under this tree that we kept flashing back to the tree, Zed, which is why I'm really thinking that they're lovers up in the tree.
Because, you know, they have this special apples, the Benora apples.
You can't even tell me that special apples is not a euphemism. Like, come on. They're by the tree. They're investigating all the, you know, all the stuff around there, saying, like, you know what? I can investigate this grave on my own. You go do the whole rest of the town, please. I'll take
you
this...
go find Angeal somewhere.
Yeah, I'll take this little bit. You do everything else. Okay, guess we're going. Right, we go in. We investigate like a bunch of houses. We keep finding a bunch of stuff. Also, this is where we just decide that we're gonna plant some items for the future. We run around and we're like, oh, I bet an item might be here later.
Yeah, and what this a is stupid like the mechanic. Only time. It's like the only time this happens, too.
Oh, my God. It's such a terrible mechanic. It made no sense to me whatsoever. But you know what we did find? We found Angeal's mother just sitting in the house. Mm-hmm. She's out there. There's a big Buster sword behind her. Not suspicious at all. Great. And then Sane calls us and is like, listen, I found something. I forget even who was even there. But I found something. We need you in the factory right now. There's a big factory there. I've done some work, except I don't want to go in. You need to be the one to go in. Great. Okay. I run over there. And then just before we get in there, friggin' Sang has the audacity to be like, you know what, Zanum? The only reason you're here is because Sephiroth didn't want the smoke. Okay. Sephiroth was just not even interested in this. He couldn't do it. And so you're here. And there you go. I don't understand why we needed to be told that right at this moment.
Yeah.
But whatever. We keep going in. We get in the factory. There's more robots for some reason out in this small village. There's just a ton of robots they imported. I don't really understand that. Great. We keep going through the factory. We keep going through the factory, and we get to this cutscene of there's Genesis there, and Angeal's there, and Sang is there. And then, you know, we're kind of going in. We want to be a part of it, and Angeal is the one that stops us. I do want to call out during this scene. The music during this confrontation and interaction is spectacular, and I have not been able to find it since I like actually played through the scene. So if anyone out there knows what I'm talking about and can find, it's just like it's strictly piano, but it's like kind of crazy. It really is so good, but I just couldn't find it. I don't even know what to Google. Is the like music during cutscene of Genesis Angeal saying like what? I have no idea how to even
I always recommend that if you have any Crisis Core questions, you ask first Mike Edwards then fellow Pusher Recaps friend EPLP34, the mysteriously named his name is also Josh. They're experts in this game. They're always hanging out in my streams, helping me make sure I don't miss anything and do stuff better. So if you need, but they also know a lot about things like the music, especially Mike, since he played this game on the PSP in high school when it first came out. So that's where I would go to for help.
Okay. Well, there you go. This is a direct call to Mike and EPLP. I really would like to know what this song is because I've not been able to find it. And I tried for just, I honestly tried looking for this for longer than I have done any of the side quests.
I was going to say.
So just like as an FYI, that, and I was unsuccessful in that. So, you know, there we go. Okay. We're clearing the factory. We get out of there and we're going back to town. Except we decided to bomb the town and order a hit strike against the town. Great. What a bunch of good guys we are. And you know what, Zed? The only way that we can stop the strike, that we can stop the bombs, is by slashing them through with our sword, specifically as they come straight at us, such that the bombs will explode behind us. And we'll be fine.
We're playing bomb baseball. You
ready
know?
To slice the next one. What? Who thought that this was a good idea? I really want to be in the room sometime when someone suggests something this stupid, just so I can like see, you know, what the approval process is for this. This makes no sense at all. We're bombing the city and we're stationary. We're not moving. And somehow the bombs are all moving horizontally. Directly at us. How does this even make any amount of remote sense whatsoever?
It has big, like, Super Mario, like, Bullet Bill energy. it feels like a mini game in, like, Mario Party.
It feels like a bad mini game, like a really bad mini game. It's just so dumb. And it wasn't even, like, hard, too. You just had to press one button when the color changed or when it got close. Like, it didn't...
Fun. for someone who is not, I don't think of myself as being really good at dexterous timing in video games. I think I actually didn't struggle with this too much. And of course, I did do it until I got all 10 of them exactly right for the trophy.
Getting all 10 wasn't even hard. It was on the first try. Like, it's not even difficult. This was just so dumb. Great. And then right after that, there's still more bombs coming. So we're not done. Our job is not done. We have a strict 30 seconds to get back to the house to find Angeal's mom
and potentially collect all 5 of the items that were glowing beforehand.
Luckily,
this was actually the more challenging part for me.
Getting back was fine, because right when we got back, we get a message from saying, oh, I bought us some more time. Why didn't you do that before? Why were we
before
rushing?
The running around?
Yeah. Why couldn't you buy us some more time before 10 bombs went right into my face? I don't know. Come on, Sang. What are we doing here? We went back. Great. We got to her mom, to his mom. But lo and behold, Genesis was there. Bah, bah, bah. He's a villain or
dun,
something.
Dun, dun.
I think. I don't even really know who he is. He might be a good guy. Honestly, I have no clue. He's there.
Well, he's trying to take down Shinra, so it just depends on how you feel about Shinra.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, right now, we're playing as Soldier.
Yeah, but maybe Zack will turn. Who knows? As Adam, very anti-Shinra, save for some of the decor in the building, because I'd hang out there, you know? okay. Great. So, we're there. This was like nothing, right? Because the Genesis is the thing where, like, oh, you haven't had a boss fight in a while. Time to put you in a boss fight. Is it against me? No. It's going to be against Bahamut. Bahamut.
Yeah, Bahamut. You've seen Bahamut before.
I know. And I don't know why I'm seeing him again. That's like my number one takeaway here. This just out of nowhere. Like, why do we keep fighting inside of Materia just for me to, like, claim it afterwards? My note here is, like, Genesis kind of sucks. That's my note, because even though he is fighting for the side that I believe in and, like, want to be fighting for, he's the worst. Like, what are we doing here? I don't understand. All I'm trying to do is find my friend Angeal,
mm-hmm.
and he just doesn't want it to happen. Maybe he hates Angeal, or he loves Angeal. I don't really know, but Angeal works for Shinra. Angeal worked for Shinra, and he seemed to be fine. And so
maybe
now
they're in the middle of a lover's quarrel.
I mean, maybe, Zed. I like that narrative, though. I like where your head's at these days. You're not on board, and now you are, and I like that. We beat Bahamut, great. And then everyone gets away, and it's almost as if nothing even happened there, because we just go right back to Shinra headquarters. That's it. There you go. There's chapter 2. Did I miss anything big there?
I don't think so, but... I don't have, like I've said, I don't have the strongest handle on the minute details of the story.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, you got another summon. So part of the benefit of doing the missions is that you will level up Materia, you'll level up yourself just by doing the fights that are in those missions, which is going to help you with your progression in general and get better limit break. Excuse me, better limit breaks and those kinds of things.
Yeah, but so does it give me higher level limit breaks? Is that what the difference is?
Well, no, annoyingly, because it's a slot machine, the level of the limit break is random.
Oh, so why does doing other missions help me get better limit breaks?
Okay, so it's not quite better limit breaks is not quite the right word, but it's gonna help increase all of your stats, and when that happens, the limit break itself will then further increase the capacity of, like, your max HP, your max MP, those sorts of things.
So I need to just be spending more time spinning slots. Is that's basically what you're saying?
That's not what I said.
Gamble more. Gamble
it's
more.
That's not what I said.
Because one of the things that I was thinking about is if there was ever a world where I just like go into one of those random fights and just like not attack for a while. Just kind of like hang out and cure myself every couple minutes and just keep spinning the slots and just see if I can level up like 10 times in one fight.
You potentially could, honestly, if you were playing the game sort of like in the background while you were watching TV or something.
Yeah, I almost always am. Some missions. Yeah. Okay.
That's not impossible. In fact, sometimes I have finished fights too quickly and I'm like about to get a limit break that would have been useful for things you don't care about. And then I've beaten the fight too fast, and so I don't get it.
So something you could do to maybe not win fights so quickly is maybe not do so many missions.
Just not be severely overleveled.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Just a thought, Zed. I'm just spitballing here.
Listen, you're doing like 2-star missions right now. I'm at 9 stars.
I don't even think I've gotten to the 2nd star. I don't even know what the stars are. What are the stars?
The difficulty ratings of the missions.
It might be 0 stars, Ed. I don't know.
That's not a thing.
Okay, well, then it's definitely all right. 1. Because all I've thought is just
we're
going to
take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Get your stars, people.
To talk about Chapter 3, Monster, on the other side of this commercial break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we are back. It is time to talk about Chapter 3, Monster.
Who's the monster, Zed? Me or you? It's probably me, right?
Capitalism.
Oh. Okay, I'm down. I think that is more represented by me, though, which is, you know, would put me in the monster.
That's also
category.
True.
Yeah, so there we go. But you know who is a huge capitalist? This isn't a great
Shinra in its entirety.
Yeah, I was gonna see. I'm trying to get us to say Angeal, but I don't think that actually works very well because I'm not convinced that Angeal is actually a capitalist, but like he might be. Sephiroth. Is Sephiroth a capitalist? I don't know. Lazard. Oh, yeah, definitely Lazard. 100% Lazard. I had to get there for a second. It took me a minute because, you know.
I mean, all of them, really. Anybody who's working for Shinra.
But Angeal is not working for Shinra anymore, right? And then Sephiroth is, like, working for himself. So, well, or I don't know.
They're all the soldiers are going rogue.
Yeah, really. It's a crisis core of capitalism here. Okay, so we had some time. We're thinking about Angeal. We're all up in our head. Oh, where's Angeal? Where could he possibly have gone since we just saw him? Even though we saw his mom. Did his mom die? Am I remembering that correctly? I didn't write it down, but I'm like 90% sure that his mom died
in the attack on Benora.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I don't know. Okay, maybe she did, maybe she didn't. I don't remember. We did not end up with a sword, though. That like feels pretty bad. The big Buster sword that was back there. Really thought we were going to be getting that in that moment, but alas, we get a call on our phone because, you know, people call these days, I guess. From Sephiroth, and he's like, "Go meet with Lazard. Lazard wants you. Lazard the capitalist wants you." You know, really?
Imagine if you just put the capitalist after the capitalist.
Lazard the capitalist wants you, and you know, great. So we come in, we're back in the Shinra building, yada yada, woohoo. We meet with whatever the stupid people are that are just hanging around all the time. I pick up something from my little first grade cubby. And that's, you know, excellent. I couldn't even tell you what it was, but great. We go meet with Lazard the Capitalist, and we are promoted. We get a promotion. We're now first class soldier.
It's official.
We get a new uniform and everything. We strip down and change right there, right then and there. No time elapses, and we change. So, you know, my assumption is we just absolutely strip down and change right there. And the biggest change here is a mechanics change, because we needed more things that were complicated and complex during combat. And so after we kill something now, we get to restore some of our stuff, whether it be health or MP or AP, which I don't really understand, after we kill stuff.
Yeah, so it depends on how you finish an enemy. If that enemy is killed with magic, it restores some of your magic. If you kill that enemy using a skill with a command materia, those are the yellow ones, that gets you some of your AP back. If you manage to get through the fight with no damage whatsoever, you get a restoration boost to your all three of your stats, to HP, MP, and AP all at once. That's not really going to happen, in my experience, until quite a bit later in the game. But then when it does, it's really useful, because you can just blast some high-level magic at your enemies a couple times, and then if you've taken no damage, you basically get all that magic right back.
Yeah.
This is a game where I have not experienced a need to manage my resources very carefully at all, which has been refreshing.
Nice. Maybe it's because you're doing so many missions and are just so high level that it doesn't even really matter. We'll see if that's the case for me.
It'll be interesting to see how the game goes for you with your very different from my playstyle.
Yeah. Well, something that also might be different. Another thing that we get as a result of being first class is fusion. We have fusion, and I didn't get this at all or even try it. It just seemed like we could make two materias into one materia that both did like both of them, but I don't want it to do both. I just want it to do one.
This is another thing that's not going to matter until way later in the game in terms of being able to max out your stats. I'm like just starting to really fiddle with it in the last few days that I've been playing. Because you can take a materia that you're using a lot, and if you fuse it with like an MP plus materia, then you can have that, say it's like fire, you have that fire materia equipped, and with it equipped, it could increase your MP by 200% or something. So it becomes useful later when you have higher level magic that is using your MP more quickly, or your HP, or those sorts of things. But again, they introduce it here really early, long before I think it's fundamentally useful. And they explain it in way more detail than I think anyone's going to take in at the time that they're doing it. And I've found mostly just putting some things together in the materia fusion slots in the menu and seeing what's going to happen is how I've understood it better than anything the game explained to me itself.
Well, and they tried to get me to fuse together like a fire and a thunder materia. And it's like, why? I don't understand. Like, who is this useful for? Especially since I have more. And it's not like I need more materia slots, because the other thing we do get is two more materia slots as we not level up, as we get promoted. Maybe our, I don't know how that really works. Our weapon gets two more. Who cares? We get two more materia slots. Great. Unfortunately, the bad news, after we get our promotion, the whole building is under attack. Shinra is in shambles. The building is struggling. Little did I know, back in the days, forward in the days, however you want to look at it, of the days of Remake. Here I thought Shinra was like this impenetrable fortress that we did such a good job infiltrating. We did so much good work there. Apparently, it's not even hard. All we had to do was steal their science. Why did we never consider that in Remake, Zed? Why did we not one time consider stealing their science?
Well, because we don't want their science. We want to destroy their science. Well, because their science is destroying the planet.
What if we destroyed their science with their science? We took their science and used it against them.
But they would know how that works because it's their science.
Oh, clearly knowing how that works didn't stop anything here.
They do have a lot of really incompetent scientists working for them. Yeah. We desperately need adult supervision.
I also like stepped into the lab. I went to the wrong room. I didn't even realize it was the wrong room. And I stepped in the lab and Hojo looks like an absolute freak in there. Like, I don't know why his art in this game is so much weirder than the art in Remake, but like, nothing will ever beat the actual like Final Fantasy VII Hojo. Cause that man was, wilding out there.
He's so creepy. I hate him so much. And honestly, Hollander's not really any better.
No, he's not. Well, I think he's better, but it's really, they have picked
low bar.
Yeah, really low bar. In my experience, scientists actually look a lot better than this. All of the scientists I know look better than Hojo.
Yes.
Not a very big
list. A low bar.
Yeah. Not a very low bar and not a big list of scientists, but 100% of the scientists that I know look better than Hojo. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's the Mako. Maybe it's the
I was going to say he's like huffing Genova cells himself. Yeah. But like,
well, sometimes huffing Genova does good things for you. If I'm thinking of other what does that look, Zed? What do you mean? There's plenty of characters who are Genova infused who made the list last podcast. Plenty of people. Who's Genova infused here? Aerith. Aerith has some Genova in her. Sephiroth. No.
Aerith does not have Genova in her. Aerith
she's
just
ancient.
Is, yes. That's not the same thing.
It's basically the same thing.
No, Zed. It's not.
It's basically the same thing. Come on.
Oh my God.
There's no difference between those things. Plus, Aerith grew up around all of that Genova. She like grew up in the lab.
You think
lab
she got some secondhand
secondhand Genova. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Without question. That's why she's appearing to us in our dreams all the time. Anyway, so the building's attacked and Sephiroth gets to protect the president because he's important and we get to go to the front door and basically say hi to these people. Great.
Uh-huh.
We have our mission. We just head down the elevator, even though I have been told so many times, all the signs in my life I've ever seen, if there's ever an emergency, do not use the elevator.
Correct. Take the stairs.
Always take the stairs. And I'm inclined to take the stairs. I mean, you know how much I love walking up and down these Shinra stairs.
I have
done it extensively. And yet we take the elevator. It randomly stops on a middle floor. And it's like, do you want to get out here? Or do you want to keep going down to the entrance? No, I don't want to get out here. Why would I want to get out here? Why are we stopping?
See, again, we are
floors?
The opposite. I'm like, yeah, of course. If the elevator stopped, I'm going to get out and go see what's going on.
What kind of idiot pressed the button on this floor is a joke. I got pranked out here. I'm late to my job. I'm supposed to go to the front door. So I didn't even sniff this floor, Zed. It never even occurred to me to be like, should I do this? No, it was the quickest no of my life.
The differences in our playthrough time of this game are going to be astonishing. And that's even though I have spent hours doing missions for trophies where I have to reload my game. And so the playtime doesn't even count.
Yeah. There was never even a second where I was like, maybe for the podcast. It wasn't even a thought. Like, there's no world where I'm getting off on this random floor. So I don't know if you remember what was on that floor. I assume that the event has passed and there's no like going back to replay this or to redo this. But my assumption here is that I just could have fought more stuff and probably gotten more treasures. That's basically what my assumption is here. And I was like, no, I'm okay. There's going to be more stuff down there that I need to get to.
Yeah, it does just let you skip it, which tells you it's certainly not that important. I think it's just more enemies to fight if you choose to get off there.
More spinning the slots, I suppose. But no, we're down there and we get down to the front. We have more robots, just robots all over the place. We're attacking stuff. There's a boss fight around here where there's different types of robots. Some of them are bigger, but one of them hates cold. One of them hates thunder. The other one was just a jerk. Not hard. These fights like haven't been hard at all, which I actually kind of appreciate. But you know, pretty easy to get through it. I'm sick of fighting robots though. Like truly, I don't understand why every fight has to be against robots. Like there's so many people that we could be fighting, and we're just fighting a bunch of robots. time and time again. So there you go. That's it. That's the attack on the Shinra building before we get to do our next thing. Thoroughly uninteresting. I couldn't even tell you who attacked. I don't even understand. Is this Aunt Geel? Is this Genesis?
It seems a rogue Shinra scientist named Hollander might be responsible for the attack.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
Although by responsible, it could mean like his experiments got loose more so than that this was like a premeditated thing, as far as I can tell.
But like, are they his experiments?
Not unlike Hojo, I swear he's doing the same thing. I don't even know why it's a different guy and it's not just Hojo.
Well, especially because Hojo is in the game. Like, he's just sitting there in the lab versus maybe Hollander's supposed to have more of a connection to Angeal, but that wouldn't even really like make sense. He has the connection to Genesis, who has the connection to Angeal, but that's so convoluted that like it just, it's not like playing very well for the story of it all. But
yeah,
maybe that's closer to what it is, but whatever. So Hollander's responsible. We'll talk about Hollander in just a second. Because we have some more stuff to do. We're meeting up with the Turks. We have a very important jobs going on here. Sang is there, and welcome, my good, sexy friends, Reno and Rude. It is a pleasure to have you back in this game.
There is a screenshot here in the walkthrough that I'm looking at with Reno walking away and the dialogue, Sector 8 is Turk's jurisdiction, slick.
what a fun little bring back for both of them. Absolutely love to see it. Welcome. Rude is looking good. You know who else is there? We have a new character alert. We need like a sound drop for a new character alert, especially when it's not just a dude. We get Cisne, like the horse. New character Cisne, and almost immediately, which I do, it's very like indicative of like, oh hey, this character is going to be around for a little while. I unlocked a new limit break because she's now in the game. Congratulations! And almost immediately, Zadam is feeling strongly about Cisne because my emotions, you might consider them heightened.
Indeed.
Very much heightened. She's like very capable. Another one of the Turks. She's out here basically doing the same stuff, keeping people safe? Is that?
I mean, is that what the Turks ever pretend to be doing?
I mean, pretend. Yes, that is exactly what the Turks pretend to be doing. Is it what they're actually doing? I don't know. But Cisne, welcome to the game. Great. There's enemies absolutely everywhere. And so then we go on a little jaunty walkabout of the streets where we're going left and entering little cutscenes, saving people. Then we go right, entering more little cutscenes, saving people. We're just walking down the street, saving some people. Great. Welcome. Who cares? This was dumb. I'm not going to lie.
This is what you do. You got to take care of the people.
The problem, though, is that it was so clunky because we would walk, then we would like cut and a new screen would load or we enter the cutscene and then combat initiated or whatever it says.
Yeah.
And then we would like get another cut and go out. It was just like it was not even remotely seamless. Like it felt really bad. It wasn't slick, like Reno was saying, unfortunately. Not a lot of slickness going on, but we were going back, we were helping people, they kept giving us some stuff. You know, if I save someone's life and they give me a pair of earrings, I'm maybe questioning some stuff. Like,
looking at what your various accessories do for you in your equipment?
I think I did later. I don't know, or I will next time. It's been a while.
They're trying to help you on your
They are. Zed, my problem though is if I save your life in some capacity and you in return give me earrings, I'm questioning that entire encounter. That feels just very incorrect for that to be what's happening. But I don't know. There should be like a very set gift for if someone saves someone's life, and I don't think it should be earrings, but There's more trouble in Midgar. In
always
Mako Reactor 5, because I don't even know why. There's some trouble there for some reason. There's some stuff going on. We're trying to find Angeal, trying to find Genesis, all that kind of stuff. We go to Mako Reactor 5, and it is absolutely infested with Sahaguins. There are Sahaguins everywhere. They are jumping all over the place. They are jumping up and landing right on me and doing a lot of damage, actually. Mm-hmm.
Like, more so damage. See, you're should. Not fighting robots no more.
No, so we're fighting fish. It doesn't even, it's, why are there fish in Mako Reactor 5? What is going on down there? They're just jumping around. I remember we fought Sahaguins in the sewers, like, all the time mm-hmm. in Remake. We're not in the sewers. We're in a reactor. It's like, why are we fighting? It just doesn't even make any sense. A bunch of Sahaguins everywhere. We, as Shinra, I say we. Whatever. We as Shinra should be able to keep our reactors safe from infiltrators, okay? Uh-huh. We should not allow anyone to come in to these reactors and just have free reign over them to, I don't know, blow them up, maybe? Maybe we should work on that and make sure we have good eyes and ears down there. But alas, we do not. And there's Sahaguins everywhere that we just have to just slaughter left and right. So it feels pretty bad. They're just out there and they're chilling. But and so we learn, I don't know why my notes are like this, but we learn that Genesis and Angeal are in bed together. I think that, you know, they're just, they're working together.
They're working together.
Yeah, but, you know, colloquialisms. And so they're making clones. They are cloning Genesis together. Angeal's involved, and they're doing shenanigans. That's what my notes say, because I could not tell you what their actual goals are besides, like, taking down Shinra. And so we have to, you know, keep going up and down. We're climbing ladders all over the place, even though we can jump so freaking high in every single cutscene. We're climbing ladders left and right. It's just, yeah, I really hate that, because it takes so long to climb those ladders. And then ultimately we get down below. We're in, we open our special door by turning on the power, and lo and behold, it's a secret library where we have to do so much reading. It was exhausting doing all this reading. I don't even remember all the reading.
Listen, Sephiroth loves the library.
It is the most, yeah, he does. It is the most reading that I've done in months. we're out here reading up a storm. And, you know, we find out basically that the Genesis is being cloned. Hollander is the one doing it. And there's some Genova shenanigans happening. And then who should show up after we finish our reading but Hollander? And also there was a weird moment where we looked in like a test tube of Geo. And
of Geo?
Yeah, so no, it's Geo now. It's just, oh, can we look at the test tube of Geo? That's exactly what it is. That's the vibes. And inside is like this Genesis copy. Great. Hollander shows up and Geo is there, and so it's a whole thing. Like, Angeal and Sephiroth are like facing off, but then Hollander runs away, and Genesis is. See, this is so convoluted. Genesis and Hollander are there. The Genesis copy is also there in the Geo. And myself and Sephiroth are in the room basically putting our bookmarks away so we can so we can get involved in the conversation. And okay, so we're doing it. And so, oh my God. Genesis and I don't know why I'm explaining this. Who even cares? Genesis and Sephiroth are like sparring with words, and Hollander is running away, and it's our job to follow Hollander. And
correct.
Let me tell you, Hollander is shifty out there. He is sneaky fast out of nowhere. He's a scientist. He should not be that fast. makes no sense.
Maybe he plays Ultimate Frisbee.
No, because Melissa would even tell you that she's not that fast either. Okay, except when she's walking.
Short, like
but
me.
But Melissa does like a speed walk. She'll never listen to this podcast, but she actually walks so fast. I like had to catch up to her multiple times. But then this last time I saw her in Seattle, I was like actually keeping up. So it was a good situation. Anyway, whatever. She'll never listen, Sad. It doesn't even matter. We can say anything we wanted about Melissa here. Yeah. Except I feel like some people would rat us out if we said anything bad about Melissa. Not that we have anything bad to say, but there are people that would rat us out. But she's not fast. That's the point. Scientists should not be fast. They can't be both smart and fast. That's a double threat, okay? You can have one, okay? You can only have one. It's not fair if you have multiple. It's just not.
My brother's a scientist. I think he's pretty fast.
No, well,
he's also 5'10", which seems like it should be allowed because he's much taller than me.
Oh, 5'10 is like too tall for a scientist?
Too tall. In my family, way too tall.
Oh, okay. I was going to say 5'10 wasn't even like that tall, but I guess it's like taller than most. Okay, so scientists can either be smart, fast, or tall. One of three or pick two, like pick any two, like the you pick two for Panera Bread type situation here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So if
you say so, but I think my brother's all three.
All three?
But he's bad at writing, if that helps.
Okay. So we have smart, tall, fast, and has good handwriting. Those are the four, and you can pick three. Okay. I think I'm picking the three that your brother has. I don't care about the handwriting. Except I'm like one of those and only like a half really. Because people don't even think.
And we're not scientists, so this is really all irrelevant.
We're one out of five. You can either
Hollander ran away.
So that's like, come on, I'm getting this podcast over with. Hollander ran away, we're following him, except we have to fight like seven things along the way. It gets very frustrating, very annoying. He keeps going around corners. Theoretically, we should be so much faster than Hollander. Like,
oh, for sure.
Even if Hollander is fast, we should be so much faster. And we're
trained
just
for this.
Yeah, this is literally our job. We do this all the time. But we can't. We're not fast enough. Great. We keep going, but eventually we do find him. And then we have a little confrontation here at the end where Angeal is there. So this is where things get really confusing because I could barely keep it straight when it was just the 3/4/ Geel of us down in the other room. But now Angeal is there and Angeal stops us. Sephiroth shows up. We have Genesis showing up. And this is where we get the wings because Angeal is there and he has this big, it really is big, wing that is pure white. And he's like flying away. He's like, I'm a monster. Or, you know, whatever. He's being very dramatic about the whole thing. Except, are you really that much of a monster if you're able to easily hide your wing? Like you, this isn't even noticeable. I didn't notice he had a wing before this. Did you notice there was a wing there? Feels like he had it hidden.
Right.
Where does it keep
it? He was walking around like a regular old dude. Yeah, but like, so does Sephiroth. And then Sephiroth is notoriously the one-winged angel, not to be confused with the one-winged Angeal.
Oh!
And there's a lot of really dramatic, incredible dialogue here about, like, you know, monsters have no honor or no dreams or maybe both. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everything in this game seems to be very black and white of like honor and dreams and betrayal and monsters.
Yeah.
Again, probably with more quoting of lines from Loveless, I think.
Well, and my question here at the end, before we fall off this building somehow, who is the monster? Because Angeal says he's the monster, but is he who betrayed? What's the betrayal and who's the monster? That's my questions here. And
Survivor is the monster.
The Beware the Monster and our third Survivor reference. Oh my god. I don't even know if I like Survivor anymore. but like, who, you know, is Angeal the monster because of the wing? I would say that's like a pretty not great argument. Is Genesis the monster because he basically tried to kill us a half dozen times? Maybe. And trying to take over Shinra. Is Hollander the monster because he's the one making all the clones, even though they're weak as heck? Maybe. Is Sephiroth a monster because, like, Sephiroth is just objectively the monster for all of the interactions I've ever had with him outside of this game? Yeah. Is Zadum the monster? Yeah, probably. Like, that would make a lot of sense, too. Is everyone the monster? Is the game the monster? Am I the monster? Are you the monster? Who's the monster, Zed?
I think we've reached that point where you've said the word so many times that it just like has no meaning anymore. It's just sounds.
It might not have any meaning in the first place. and then the betrayal. Okay. It would make sense for me if the betrayal, I'm not saying this is what's happening because it's just objectively not, but it would make sense for me if the betrayal was Angeal and Genesis, we set up the idea that they were close as kids. Do you remember the trees, Ed?
Yes.
The tree was so important.
The Benora tree. Yeah.
The Benora tree was everything. And it would make sense to me if like that was the betrayal. But it's not, because they're on the same side. So who betrayed who? Nobody betrayed Sephiroth.
Nemesis, at least, has betrayed Shinra at this point.
Yeah, but Angela's with him. He is on Team Genesis.
Team Genesis.
I think. He's a part of the Genesis Red Leather fan club. He definitely stopped at the thing. He for sure didn't just move right past it. Angela's all about that life. And Hollander, was Hollander a part of Shinra? Probably, right?
He's a Shinra scientist, but he's like gone rogue, I believe.
Okay, so maybe they didn't even steal the science. Maybe they stole the scientist.
Well, they absconded with the science.
Yeah.
but like Snowden style, where they had access to the science and then they just took it where they shouldn't have taken it.
Okay, is Hollander Snowden? Is that
no. Absolutely not, because I'm very pro Edward Snowden and I'm very anti-Hollander.
Very anti-Hollander. Okay, wait, well, how are you anti-Hollander? He's the one that's helping defeat Shinra.
Yeah, but he's another creepy scientist dude who's like doing experiments he shouldn't be doing.
Okay, well, I don't know. We can't be too picky with our scientists here when our bar is Hojo. Like, we really have to be able to be accepting of more scientists, I think.
I mean, if it's Hollander versus Hojo, you go Hollander.
I go Hollander every time.
100. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But Hollander wasn't, like, that is not the betrayal, right? I don't care about the betrayal between anyone and Shinra. Like, that cannot be what the betrayal is. The only backstory that we got was between Angeal and Genesis, and there's no betrayal there because they're still on the same side and they're and he's got a wing. So whatever. Maybe Angeal is the monster, but I don't think he's the betrayer. Unless we're talking about the betrayal between Angeal and Zadum. But like, we were there for 2 seconds before he left. We had a half a chapter.
Yeah, but he was like your mentor before that, kind of.
That we saw none of. There was no way that was set up enough to justify that. I don't know. Okay. So I couldn't tell you what the betrayal is at the end of the chapter entitled The Betrayal.
Monster.
? So, yeah. We have a lot of monsters, no betrayers, no traitors. But a lot of monsters. And we're falling out of the building. And I'll bet you literally any amount of money that we're going to fall right into Aerith's church. That's like for sure what's going to happen. I have no doubt in my mind. I know you said we're going to be meeting Aerith soon, and there's just no way they don't go back to this well, because that's the only way to meet Aerith, I think, is by falling through the ceiling of her church.
It's the only way to get into the church, actually.
It's the only way to get into the church, even though there's a lot of weird ways out. So
yeah, you can leave through the front door, but you cannot walk in that way.
No. And anyone else could walk in that way, too. So, you know. Not spiky-haired boys. Well, Reno has a little bit of a spike, no?
I suppose that's true.
Because he walked right in the front door with all of his goons. Anyway, so there you go. That's chapter 3. That was chapters 2 and 3. I'm excited to get into some of the new stuff, maybe to see what's going on, but the story is like not tracking for me 100%. And I think that like that was predicted. I saw a couple predictions of like Adam's not gonna understand the story in the first little bit. Well, congrats. I have no idea what's going on. Who betrayed who? Is everyone a monster? What's going on? Where is Angeal? Why do we keep not knowing where Angeal is, but then he shows up everywhere? Why are we bombing villages and killing moms? Why am I slicing bombs? I don't know.
I think you're in the right place with the game. I think you're very much in the place I was at this point in the story. I think the game gets a lot stronger in the next couple chapters when we are hanging out with Aerith, and then we will eventually start to move into the story that we see in flashback in Final Fantasy VII.
Oh.
And that gets to be really interesting. So for next week, we're going to play chapter 4, An Angel's Dream. Ooh. We love angels and dreams.
Yep.
And chapter 5, Where Are You? ?
What do you mean, where am I? Probably fighting another.
There is another chapter that is also a question.
Oh my god. Uh-huh. A lot of indecision on these chapters.
Yeah. So that's what's coming up for us next week here on this podcast. Adam, what do you have going on elsewhere?
Oh, gosh. So many things happening. You can find me on Twitter, PanamanAdam1. Also over on Wonder Scarlet Podcast, we're finishing up our coverage of the new Hulu show starring Mae Whitman Up Here with myself, Todd, and Lindy. And then we're also talking through Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. We are going to be having the amazing Emily Reed on for this next episode. So very fun. The penultimate episode of the first season. Going to be a blast. On Poster Recaps, talking Doctor Who with Kevin and Melissa, talking How I Met Your Father with the amazing Sarah Ferguson. And then the aforementioned Todd and I are going to be talking about the new season of Schmigadoon. So Schmigadoon season 2 is going to be coming out. First 2 episodes I've actually already dropped. So we're going to be releasing that very, very soon. So yeah, all over the place, but you can find me on Twitter and I'll retweet all the stuff that I'm doing. So come hang out.
Excellent. Busy, busy. I am not as podcast busy, but I am podcasting about the Apple TV Plus show Extrapolations with Troy, aka DJ LaBelle Klein. The show's not very good, but we have fun talking about it and yelling about climate change together for an hour or so every week. So even if you don't want to watch the show, I highly recommend the podcast, which you can find in the Post Show Recaps main feed or in the Binge Show Recaps feed. I am going to be covering the final episode of Taskmaster Australia with Sean and Sarah over on Silent Podcast. That episode will drop next week. And I didn't get to promote it here last week since we did not do an episode. But if you have not checked out the Pride Has Spoken LGBTQ plus panel that I did with Grace and Dr. Evie Jagoda and Matt Scott, please check that out over on RHAP. A lot of great conversation breaking down the anti-trans legislation in Kentucky specifically, but also the movement more generally and what you can do to help out. So check that out over on RHAP if you do anything this week. That is the one that is most important to me. But be sure to support Post Show Recaps at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. And we will see you all next week with more honor and dreams and questions. Take care, everybody. Bye.